Good afternoon. I was happy to have been asked to give this talk, to give my thoughts on the chapter that we are to discuss today, Romans chapter 14, a chapter that shows us how we should act towards others in the brotherhood. This is one of the chapters that I have always struggled with and how to apply it to my life. If I was alive at the time of Christ, I'm sure I would have been a Pharisee. I liked the rules and structures, the structure that they had. Yet in this chapter, it is talking about conscience and how we will be judged by our actions in relation to our conscience. How could I do something and it be wrong, and you do the very same thing and it is okay? I've also heard an argument that says, what you're doing is offending me. You better stop doing it. And the third argument is, I'm strong enough to do this. Who are you to tell me what I can and can't do? So how do I explain all this in Romans 14 in 15 minutes? I can't. When I first started taking notes for this and I read over the talk, the talk was about 45 minutes, so what you're going to get is about a third of what I wrote. So all I can do is just kind of explain what Paul was trying to tell to the Ecclesia in Rome. It is up to each one of us to try and apply this to our own lives. If we open to Romans 14 in the first verse, we read, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Weak should be doubtful or questioning, and doubtful dispensation means to judge his doubtful thoughts. It is real important to look at the context of this chapter. If we take these verses out of context, we can apply them and come up with a wrong conclusion. This chapter is talking about eating meats and keeping the feast days, not first principle things like breaking of bread, baptism, and resurrection. The weakness was, should I eat this meat, or should I take this day off to follow the law of Moses? We are not to judge people that are questioning if they should or should not do something, if they are trying to figure out how to best serve God, or not to judge someone that is doing or not doing something because of their conscience, as long as it is not a first principle. Verse number 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Here we see the one that believeth was able to eat meat, showing us the context of verse 1. The weak was the one that was not eating the meat. Verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let him not which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Here is the difficulty with dealing with problems that are not clear-cut. A problem, let's say if I was addicted to cocaine, would be pretty simple. Everybody could agree that it was wrong. And it was simply my addiction and my weakness that I kept going back and using the drug. Everyone would know that this is wrong. But this is not what Paul is talking about. He is talking that both sides thought they were right and the other was wrong. One side, Paul titles the weak. If you asked them, they would have told you that they were the strong ones. The others were the new and the truth. They did not understand how to serve God and follow the law of Moses. The strong, who Paul titles, did not want to go along with the old way of doing it. But we're told God hath received both. We might not like something another brother or sister is doing, But that does not mean that we are right and they are wrong, or that they are right and we are wrong. We could both be accepted. I know that some people say that there is no gray area in the truth, but I don't think they have studied chapters like this fully. For me to say what I feel a gray area is would make me guilty of the very thing that Paul is warning in this chapter. So hopefully I can use something that we can all agree on. The dress code for meetings, depending on where we're meeting, determines what the appropriate dress code would be. I can remember some people saying that the dress code was a suit jacket and tie, even if you were going to listen to the talk. Others, a tie is appropriate for giving a talk. And others, simply a dress shirt. Some brothers even said that the color of the shirt that was under their suit jacket, if it was not white, would not be acceptable. God has called us all. Sometimes in our zeal, we can forget that we are all brothers and called by God and treat a brother worse than someone in the world. Verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. We quote James 4, verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Do we look at ourselves as closely as we look at those that we are judging? And when we are judging, are we taking the steps of Matthew 18? Or rather, is it calling another person on the phone or meeting them after meeting and say, did you see what so-and-so did, or what he said, or what he wrote? In verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This is where the Pharisaical people like me have a hard time with the commandments of Christ. I cannot judge your motives. How do I know what is going on in your mind? I might have known what was going on in my mind when I was in your situation, but that does not give me the right or the authority to say what you were thinking. But there's a flip side to this. I could flat out lie to you. How do you know that I'm not just saying what I'm saying to shut you up? We don't. We will be judged by God and not by our peers. In verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and the he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. And he that eateth to the Lord, for he has given God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. He that regardeth the day. So one takes the day to reflect on the blessings that God has given them. Maybe on Sundays, we choose not to work. After meeting, we come home and reflect on the exhortation that was given to us. Regardeth not the day. Maybe I have to work on Sundays, and maybe I give thanks to God that I am able to earn enough money to come to gatherings like this. Both do different things. Both give glory to God. In verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live to the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Liveth, its meaning is the freedom and the truth. These were the people that felt they had the freedom to eat the meats. And dieth, the self-denial, the example of the Nazarite vow that Brother Scott brought out for us in the exhortation a few days ago. and to himself. These rules are not made to give ourselves glory or to make ourselves look good. They should be done to give glory to God. For to this end, Christ died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living, of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall stand at the judgment seat of Christ. What you did offended me. I don't like what you're doing, and you better stop. Are we so confident? Are we really that confident in what we're doing that we are willing to tell others to stop from exercising their liberty in Christ? Or should I say it the way Paul says it? Are we so weak that in what our brother is doing that it is going to cause us to sin? If so, then we should go forward. If not, we could be judged for setting our brother at naught. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We will have to give account of ourselves at Christ's return. You will not be able to say, Brother David did it, so I think it was okay to do. I might have to give an answer on why I did something that made you sin. But it does not get you a get out of jail card free. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Stop passing judgment on one another. Again, this is not talking about first principle matters. Both the weak and the strong were passing judgment on each other. The stumbling blocks were forcing the others to do what was not required of God, or telling people that felt it was required by God that they were at liberty not to do them. Verse 14, I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Here is a gray area. The Pharisees solved this problem by making rules. Paul calls this action weak. Paul in Acts 26 verse 5 says he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He identified himself with the weaker when he was younger, although at the time he thought he was stronger. The conscience of the weak brother is to be respected and not to be criticized. And verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Paul makes a serious charge against the strong, not in the fact that they were eating the meat, but in the fact that they were not showing the agape or the deep love that they should have had to their brothers and sisters, because they were moved in self-justification to do it their way. In verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Service should be bondservant. showing that we should be servants. Focusing on serving Christ and not ourselves, especially in the things we feel is serving Christ. Approved of men. This is someone that both sides could go to because they put God first and did not choose sides because who those people were that came to them. In verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, the things wherewith one may edify another. The following is actively pursuing, to run after in order to catch. The things that make peace. We must focus on the positives and not the negatives. There could be two people that are agreed 98%, yet when they get together, will argue over the 2% that they disagree on. In verse 20, for meat destroyeth not the work of God, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Eating with offense. This makes me think of my kids when you might say, well, they're not really doing anything wrong when they're sitting next to each other holding their one hand so close to the other one saying, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, and the other one is getting all upset. That's the same thing that we are doing when we are offending our brother. It sounds silly, but that's really what we're doing if we're getting our brothers worked up. In verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Brother Burl earlier in the week posed the question in his talk, how many brothers would deliberately do something that would condemn them to the grave? I would say Paul's asking a similar question. Would we deliberately do something that condemn another to the grave? This one might not be as easy to answer. Do we love wine or meat more than we love our brother? If we look at the person sitting in front of us, those in the front row, I guess we'll have to use me, would we never touch a piece of meat again if they asked us not to? If it meant that it would keep them out of the kingdom of God, could we have a piece of meat again in our lives? The simple answer would be yes, of course. But in reality, would we be able to? Or would we simply just do it when they're watching and go about our own business when they're not around? And maybe even worse, talk about them behind their backs and say, can you believe what so-and-so expects me to do? In verse 22, hast thou faith? For have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eateth, because he eateth not in faith. For whatsoever is not in faith is sin. Faith should be better rendered conviction. How can we give thanks to God for something if we're feeling guilty doing it? We're only doing it because I saw so-and-so doing it. Just because the weaker thinks that something needs to be done in service to God does not make it a commandment. But out of love, we should do it for them. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, we read, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So the one that thinks he's strong must examine himself, because it does not make it right because you feel that it is okay to do. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, we read, "Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." In verse 22, we read, "Happy is he that condemneth not himself." In closing, he gives a warning to the strong. You might be doing something that you think is fine, later to find that people have left the truth because of something you have done. Speaking from experience, this does not leave a strong or joyful feeling, only tears of regret.